Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Word of Life Bible College students. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife Tarina Mwamba here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America. I welcome you all to this class in the book of Genesis. It's the first time we're getting on Blog Talk Radio. I thought I would get my teachings much easier by broadcasting it once in a while. As you know, my iPod and stuff I use to do my voice message kind of froze up. I'm trying to clear up stuff that I blogged up, but we're going to be back to normal shortly. And before we go any further, I'd like us to pray. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come before your divine holy presence. We thank you for the Word of Life Bible College students who have been studying the Word of God faithfully since January. This month, Lord, of May, which we are in, we are expecting great and mighty things from thine own hand. I pray for each and every student and everyone who listens to this broadcast that they'll be built up in the faith and that they'll be actioned to become students of the Word. Just like the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul said to Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we are here, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. We are teaching our students to be men of integrity, men of great valor, men with an anointing from above, men that do not preach on things that they have never received any revelation on, but men that give forth the thus saith the Lord. Touch each every student, build them up as a mighty army in this 21st century, which is going to usher in the coming of the Lord. We give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Bible school students, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba. I'm on my broadcast. You see, I do broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and I reach in this world over 10,000 listeners. 10,000 people listen to Bishop Mwamba on this broadcast. I began broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio 3 years ago. I've been on radio here in America. This is my third year. Broadcasting, live broadcasts on Blog Talk Radio. I broadcast for 30 minutes, sometimes 15 minutes, sometimes 1 hour, depending on the message that I have to give. But today I thought, you know, instead of me, since like I said, my voice messaging has been frozen up, let me take you on this channel. Well, today we're going to look in the book of Genesis. You see, we're doing the book of Pentateuch. Now, Pentateuch means the five books of Moses, which were written by the great prophet Moses. And these are the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, the book of Numbers, and the book of Deuteronomy. These are the five books that the great prophet Moses brought. Now, last time I was with you in the book of Genesis, we had looked at chapter number 17, getting into 18. And if I can remember very well, we reached up to chapter number 18 and verse 6. Now, what we found out in chapter 18 that Abraham had visitors. Now, I told you last time in my teaching, I said this was a theophany. A theophany is where actually, when we say the angels appeared, it's actually God who appeared, or the Lord Jesus. And in this instance, theologians do believe that it was actually God who appeared to And so we found out last time that these men, three angels, came, which looked like men. They stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 18. I'm now in verse 2. And then the Bible says here, and in verse 3, and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree." Last time I did mention to you very clearly that here Moses was begging for these men, to stay with him, at least spend time with him. I said last time in my teaching, I said, you see, the Apostle Paul who said that, do not be slack in entertaining strangers, for thereby others have entertained angels. See, I think I said it was Jesus who said it, but I think it was Paul who said it. But the point is, be hospitable. There are blessings in hosting people, but also be careful who you host. Because there are dangers in hosting people too. People you don't know very well. People, you know, you don't know. Don't just open your home to any Jim and Jack you see on the road. Even ministers, you got to get the witness in your spirit that they are right with God. I shared with you how I hosted this minister from Kenya. I think it was Nakuru, Kenya. He was an apostle. He came in my home and wanted to do some crazy things to my daughter. I told you last time how that my niece was there, and if my niece had not been there and my daughter had not screamed, it would have been a different situation because he wanted to rape my daughter. See? But my daughter screamed. We had given him a room where our daughter slept and moved our daughters into another room. But in the morning, my daughter was trying to collect her clothes. And this man, the apostle, of all things, grabbed her and wanted to undress her when she screamed and her cousin came in and intervened. And that's how that man quieted down. And nobody told me until I escorted this guy to the airport and he left. See, some of the things we think is wisdom, not telling people, that's crazy. She'd have told me, and I tell you, that man wouldn't have gone anywhere. But anyway, suffice to say that you must be careful who you open your home to, because you can bring danger in your own bosom. But in this case, these men were holy men. These men were angels. So when God will always witness to you, you know who. But the Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. You know who they are by their fruit. Okay? Now, so finally they agreed to stay with him. And he said, "And I'll fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And so we see here, and Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah. See that? Abram hastened into the tent unto Sarah. And there we are in verse number 6. And said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of 5 meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the heath." And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetch a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it, that's to make it ready for meat. And he took butter and milk and the calf and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. See, angels, when they manifest themselves, they can even eat natural food just like we do. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah hid it in the tent, though. which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. May the Lord bless the reading of his word as we go. Right. Here we see a scenario whereby they are quick to God is quick to remember his commitment to Abraham. You see, many times when we go through a promise with God and time has passed by, just because things are not working, don't think God has forgotten. Excuse me. Don't think God has forgotten of his promise to you. If God promised that he's going to give you a worldwide ministry, these big things take time. Just be patient and it will come to pass. But if it delays, don't you ever go and say, oh, what's going to happen now? God is not moving on my side. God is not doing anything. No, that's not the way God works. When God has promised to do something for you, it will come to pass. You see, you students, as men of God who are being trained in ministry, you must realize of a fact that God wants to make you great. He has chosen you out of the thousands and millions of people and set you aside to become his firebrands, to become his instruments of righteousness, to become his messengers in the earth. Don't you ever think that God will ever forget about you. No, sir, no, ma'am. God does not work that way. So that's what we see here. He immediately gets back to where he left off to reinforce the covenant. He says, where is Sarah? And, he says, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. You see, God reinforced his promise. He says, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. You see, what does that mean? I'll definitely return unto thee according to the time of life. According to the time of life. What does that mean? It means that God will visit us accordingly in the time of life, accordingly as we live day to day, day at a time, moment by moment, and we do the things we do. We go to work, maybe we go to school, or we go to church, we go to the office, we teach in the Bible school, or whatever we do in our daily lives according to the time of life. That way, the time of life means according to the activities that you do within your life and your life is going, suddenly God is going to visit you. You see what it means? This means that whatever your calling or wherever you are, as you see things moving on and you think God has forgotten, in the mundane of doing things, God will finally visit you. That's how it is. God will visit you according to the time of life. That means according to the way you live. Life will look ordinary. Things you do will look ordinary. But according to that very life, God will visit you. In the very ordinary things of life, you must expect a miracle. You see, God is not going to visit you in a blast of heaven and the heavens being split open. God will visit you in accordance with what you do, in the things you are doing, the life you are living. You see, look at Joseph. God promised him that he was going to be a leader. He had a dream. He shared it with his brothers, and because of the sharing of the brothers, they hated him. And guess what they did to him? Judah said, no, let's not do this to our brother. So they sold him to the Ishmaelites, who in turn sold him to Potiphar. And the wife of Potiphar was eyeing this guy until he eventually accused him that he was going to rape her. And then this man, the innocent Joseph, was thrown into prison. But even in prison, because the grace of God was upon his life, he was given a place of being in charge of the prison. In Potiphar's house, he was in charge. He was second only to the master. That's why when the wife of the master wanted to sleep with Joseph, Joseph said, no, I can't do it. I'm sinning against my God. My master's given me everything except you because you are his wife. How can I do such a thing? You see, Joseph feared God and respected the Lord. But then because this woman wanted to justify her position, she accused him to her husband. And you know what? Joseph could have been killed. But you see, when the hand of the Lord is upon your life, he will protect you even when people work evil behind your back. And so Joseph was thrown in prison. But even in prison, the Lord was with him. Guess what? The Lord visited him according to the time of life. That's what I'm saying. He visited him according to the time of life. In actual fact, when we read the book of Psalms, it said, until his word came, what word? The word to call Joseph out and bring him into the position of leadership before Pharaoh and make him vice president of Pharaoh. On vice president in the land of Egypt. The Bible says, until his word came, the word of the Lord tried Joseph. You see that? Until your word comes in the time of life, the word of the Lord will try you. What is the word of the Lord? The promises that God made to you, that you're going to be a great preacher, you're going to be a mighty evangelist, you're going to be a mighty man with the anointing to heal and to set people free. See, if God promised you that, it will come to pass in the time of life. That's what this angel was saying to Abraham concerning Sarah. But look what happened. The Bible tells us in verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. These people were old. These promises are being given to these guys who are old. Listen what the Bible says. And he ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. What does that mean? She was not bringing forth the eggs. You know, eggs come forth every month. If that egg from a woman is not fertilized, it passes on. That cycle had stopped with Sarah. You understand? No wonder she laughed. When she heard it, she laughed. She said, it can't be. How? Because I don't have any more eggs to produce from my ovaries. You see? It had stopped. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. That means she had no more eggs to fertilize to bring forth a child. Listen to me. When God gives you a promise, it could have stopped in the manner. It ceased to be, just ceased to be with you after the manner of men or women. You have reached a point where no money can be seen. It has ceased to be. The economy has gone kaboost. You know, when you talk of a million, it's beyond your reach. When you, even $100 is beyond your reach sometimes. Now we are talking of projects here to build a Bible school costing thousands and thousands of dollars. And when we look at our bank accounts, it ceases to be. after the manner of the economy. The money is not there. We are not seeing the money as it's supposed to be. We are not seeing people giving. It just ceased to be. But the point is, it doesn't matter whether it has ceased to be or it is. As long as we are with God, we are well able to do it. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. Don't you ever lose hope just because of the circumstantial evidence of lack. You're looking around and nobody has got money. There's nobody who can support you. There is a God in heaven who knows how to send a raven to the brook Cherith where Elijah was and feed him. Elijah ate twice, 1 meal in the morning and 1 meal in the evening, fed by a bird called a raven. So don't ever follow the manner of this world and think, well, because there's no, the economy is bad, so it's going to be bad with me. It's not going to be bad with you. Don't say, oh, no, because the economy is bad, things are not going to work with me. That's why Sarah laughed. And therefore, Sarah laughed, verse 12 of Genesis 18, within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, listen to what she said, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? She was looking at the circumstantial evidence, the situation they were in. It was impossible for them to have a child. Maybe the situation you are in, it's impossible to start a church, impossible to build a building, impossible to travel and preach around the world. That's what you think. But with our God, all things are possible to him that believeth. You understand? All things are possible to him that believeth. If you believe, everything is possible. God will perform a miracle. Oh my God. Then, verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. You see that? We can deny and say, Lord, no, I did not disbelieve you. I'm still in faith. God knows when we lose faith in what we are believing for. God knows when we doubt. Here, God knew she laughed because she looked at the circumstances she was in, that it was not possible for her to have a child. See, I think it was David who said, everything is bare before the God we have to deal with. Before the God we got to deal with, God knows our hearts. God knows when you doubt. God knows when you have faith. God knows when you are about to give up. God knows everything. But let me tell you what. Abraham and Sarah finally had Isaac. How come? Because we serve a God of miracles. God recharged Sarah. God recharged Abraham, brought life unto the deadness of his productive system, until Abraham was back to tune again, and he made Sarah pregnant. And at the right time in life, they had a son. So this is the God we're dealing with. This is the God you're dealing with, Bible school students. Just because you are in a situation where maybe you don't see money come, where things seem not to be working for you, that's not the time to give up. You have a God who is bigger than your thoughts. You see, you cannot lock up God in your brain. He's bigger than our brains. All the brains of the world combined cannot equal God, because we are created beings. God operates at a higher level than us. He knows where our finances are, number one. Number two, he knows that we can do it through him. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So what do you need to do? You need to have strength in the Lord. You need to say to that mountain like Zerubbabel did, are you thou mountain before Zerubbabel? You shall be a plain. For it is not by might, nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. We're going to make it here at Word of Life Bible College. We're going to train men and women for the ministry, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We're going to traverse this land. We're going to go to the north of the globe, to the south of the globe. Students will be everywhere preaching and doing mighty wonders for the kingdom of God. And you are one of them. All my students there where you are, you are one of them. God has chosen you as vessels of honor. God has chosen you to be on the cutting edge of ministry. So in this passage we have seen that Abraham and Sarah, both of them, but mainly Sarah, doubted God. Even Abraham at one time says, how shall this thing be, seeing that I'm old? You see, we look at our natural circumstances. But then the Bible says, but Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. You see, when you believe in the things you have not seen, that's faith. And it pleases God. When you believe like that, God will begin to work miraculously in your life. We are here at Word of Life Bible College, Dallas campus, ministering to students all over the world, in Africa, in the UK. We have Jillian there. In New York, we have Astrida there. In Zambia, we have Gary. We have Deborah. We have Sinanji. We have students who are seeking the face of God. We have Precious in Zambia. We have all these students on the cutting edge of ministry, wanting to do nothing but the will of God. And let me tell you what, God will bless you. We have Oyi in Tanzania. We have different students from different countries who are seeking God with all their heart. Here in the United States, here in Dallas, Texas, we have many people who are studying the Word of God because they want to do big things for the kingdom. You know Reinhard Bonnke, the mighty evangelist? When I was in Wales, I went to the Bible school where Reinhard Bonnke was trained. Bonnke was trained in Cardiff at a Bible school which was started just like we have started at this Bible school, by one man, a man of faith. This man never begged anybody for money. This man never asked not even a penny for anyone, but he believed God. When I went there, the first thing that hit me was this big sign, faith. They said the man lived by faith and trained these students to become men and women of valor without asking for money. That's where Reinhard Bonnke was trained, not knowing that that Bible school he started, it's closed now. But that Bible school this man started, I'll find his name because I got his books and I read about him a lot, but I visited the place. His Bible school where Reinhard Bonnke was trained. They said he was a man of faith who never looked at circumstances but only looked to God. Let me tell you what. Never look at circumstances, because circumstances can lie. Behind those bad looking situations, there is the Almighty God. Well, this is your professor, Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the professor of systematic theology, and my wife Tarina signing off from this broadcast and saying, God bless you. We will see you again. Be open for God's leading, and bye-bye.